Hello and welcome to the debate. I'm Marzieh Hashemi. Al-Qaeda linked group, the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant, is making serious gains in Anbar province in Iraq, while the same terrorist group has been involved in barbaric attacks on Iraqi civilians as well as unknown savagery in Syria and other places. Who is the ISIL really? As they allegedly say that their goals are to establish a pure Islamic state. However, in the process, they kill and torture Muslims and others and totally act against Islam's holy book, the Holy Quran. So just what is the real story on the ISIL? Well, stay with us as we take a look at this question and others on the debate.
On Sunday, a senior Iraqi military commander said it will take a few days to fully dislodge Al-Qaeda-linked militants from the two key western cities of Ramadi and Fallujah. Lieutenant General Rashid Fleh said the Army Special Forces have already conducted operations inside Fallujah. The government is fighting the militants with the help of local Sunni tribesmen. Tensions in Anbar have run high since 28th of December, when Iraqi security forces arrested a Sunni lawmaker sought for terrorism charges. The army then removed the anti-government protest camp in Ramadi, said to be used by Al-Qaeda-linked militants. Since then, the army has been fighting with militants from the Al-Qaeda-affiliated group, the Islamic State in Iraq and Levant, which took control of parts of the Anbar province. But where did these militants come from? Security sources in Baghdad and many analysts accuse Saudi Arabia being behind the extremist group. They say the ISIL is engaged in a proxy war to fight for Saudi Arabia.
We have now evidence, actual evidence, and guns and ammunition that were supplied to insurgents in Syria that ended up in Iraq and originated from Saudi Arabia. So there is a new map being drawn in the area. There is the shifting changes in the Middle East. So we have been expecting this.
The ISIL is a terrorist group comprised of foreign and Arab terrorists. It's mainly been operating in Syria for the last 2 years with the logistic and financial support of Riyadh. Also on Saturday, it claimed responsibility for a suicide car bombing in a Shia-dominated neighborhood in the Lebanese capital, Beirut. Suffering a great defeat to bring down the government of Syria, Saudi Arabia seems to be trying to compensate its failure by creating insecurity and instability in Iraq. However, as many analysts say, Riyadh will be the ultimate loser in the gambling, as its policies further awakens the people in the region, enabling them to better distinguish friends from foes.
With all these atrocities, with all the body counts, we see things are moving into a better tomorrow, because now the people of Iraq understand completely who is behind this, which political parties are now representing the Saudi Arabians, and in a proxy war against another neighboring country being fought inside on Iraqi territory.
I'd like to welcome my guest to the program, out of Beirut, international consultant, Mr. Jihad Morakadeh. And out of Madison, Wisconsin, Dr. Kevin Barrett for the Muslim Christian Jewish Alliance. Thank both of you. I thank both of you for being with us. And apologies from the beginning of the program for not a strong voice, but I will do my best. And let's start this off with Mr. Morakadeh in Beirut. How can a group, in your perspective, which claims to be working to establish Islam, do its best to destroy the name of Islam?
This is a very difficult question. These groups do not represent Islam per se, because Islam is not a religion of extremism, and it's more a religion of tolerance. So these groups think that they are representing Islam, but in effect, they have their own political agenda. I think we are here more to discuss the political agenda of these groups rather than the representativeness of Islam, because they do not represent Islam.
Okay, well, Dr. Barrett, the ISIL is an Al-Qaeda group. Your perspective, now our guest talked about, Mr. Morakadeh talked about their political agenda, and I want to get into that. What do you think their real goal is?
Well, I think it's been pretty clear now for a number of years that Al-Qaeda is a brand that was created by a certain segment of the imperialist and colonialist forces in the West to undermine the Islamic awakening and to prevent the countries of the Middle East from reclaiming their freedom and independence. Just to give you a couple of examples of what I'm talking about, we had just a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, two American congressmen have asked Congress to pass a resolution demanding that President Obama declassify the 2002 Joint Intelligence Report that apparently, according to many leaks, shows that 9/11 was not perpetrated by 19 Al-Qaeda militants under control of a guy on dialysis in a cave in Afghanistan, but rather it was attributed to one or more foreign intelligence agencies. And the leaks have generally pointed towards Saudi intelligence, which is really just a wing of U.S. intelligence, and they've also, to a lesser extent, pointed towards Israeli intelligence. We have U.S. Senator Bob Graham on the record saying that this is true, that these 30-plus pages that have been classified and withheld from scrutiny by President Bush ever since they were published in 2002 do show that that 9/11 was not what we were told, that it was an intelligence agency operation. That shows that so-called Al-Qaeda, which has been taking credit for this supposedly, even though bin Laden denied it, is not what it seems. Secondly, immediately after 9/11, Mohammed Haykel, who a former high Egyptian government official who is the leading political commentator in the Arab world, said that he broke out laughing when he was told that Al-Qaeda was responsible for 9/11. He said, "I laugh because I know what is there." He went on to say that when he was in the Egyptian government, he was privy to the many intelligence agencies that had infiltrated and were running Al-Qaeda: American intelligence, Saudi intelligence, and Egyptian intelligence.
Okay.
So Al-Qaeda has always been a false flag operation, and it's designed to sow discord and violence and keep the Middle East in chaos so it will never win its independence.
All right, Mr. Morqadi, I want to look specifically at the ISIL, which is, of course, an Al-Qaeda offshoot. Who do you think is behind this group as far as funding-wise?
First of all, ISIL is not an Al-Qaeda offshoot. ISIL is a bunch of fanatic Islamists. Some of them have connections to Al-Qaeda, of course, but it is not an organization that directly takes its orders strictly from Al-Qaeda. It's a combination of things. You must remember one thing, that the ISIL was created by these Islamic fanaticists, and they came out mostly out of the Syrian prisons. Bashar al-Assad, President Bashar al-Assad, released him from his prisons, okay, in order to create a counter-insurgency against the existing insurgency. This is on the one hand. These same people were in Nahr al-Bared camp in the north of Lebanon a few years ago, and the Lebanese army fought against them, and they were sent there by Syria. And those people who were able to flee from the camp, Nahr al-Bared camp, were protected by the Syrians and flew back to Damascus. There, he put them back in prison, kept them ready for the next round. So part of the ISIL is Syrian intelligence operatives now. They operate for account of the Syrian government. Other parts, certainly not. But then you have the parts which are in the eastern part of Syria, and they control a large part of the territory there, because all the tribes there, which are the same tribes that the Syrian intelligence used to use against American troops in Iraq, in Al-Anbar province.
Okay.
Syria used to send these people to fight the Americans in Iraq.
All right, Dr. Barrett,
so
your perspective
people,
on what...
I'm not saying there are no Qaeda,
Dr. Barrett,
but
your
a lot
perspective
of these people
on Mr.
are Syrian.
Mr. Morqadi has said that basically he's saying that it is Syrian intelligence, and many experts that we've talked to point the finger at Saudi intelligence being behind this terrorist group. Your take, sir?
Well, I don't think that Syrian intelligence is behind the destabilization of Syria through these foreign mercenaries and terrorists who have infiltrated Syria.
I did not say that.
I think Saudi intelligence is much more likely, much more logical suspect. We know that Saudi intelligence was behind the false flag chemical weapons attack in Al Ghouta. The entire alternative media got that right in August, and now Seymour Hersh has confirmed it using hard evidence from solid intelligence sources. Even the Obama administration and President Obama himself knew that Bandar Bush, or Bandar bin Sultan, head of Saudi intelligence, was almost certainly the real author of the chemical weapons attack in Al Ghouta in August. Syria is being destabilized. The government was pushed to the brink by these terrorists, and trying to blame Syrian intelligence for undermining its own government, I think, is pretty bizarre. I hadn't even heard that before, and I really would like to ask this other guest where he's getting that kind of information.
Well, let's get back to this particular...
I said to undermine the counterinsurgency.
Mr. Morcadi, stay with me. I ask both of you to bear with me tonight because of a lack of a strong voice. So, Mr. Morcadi, with the situation that is taking place overall, now we have seen the ISIL, what they're doing in Iraq. We've seen their role in Syria, and some will say also in Lebanon. Who benefits from this type of a group and the actions that they are committing? Who benefits the most?
Well, first of all, we need to have a proper reading of the ISIL and everything that they are doing. In Iraq, for example, Prime Minister Nouri Maliki attacked the camps of moderate Sunni Muslims in Fallujah and Ramadi a few weeks ago. This was a response to his attack. So who is the provocator there? The same thing happened in Syria. For 6 months, there were no weapons used in Syria except by the Syrian regime. So who is provoking the situation? Who is fanning the flame in the Middle East? Bashar al-Assad and Nouri al-Maliki. Who is behind them? This is a question.
Are you saying that ISIL is not, sir? Are you saying that ISIL is not an extremist group?
No, I didn't say that at all.
Okay.
I said from the beginning it was an extremist group.
Okay.
I said they do not represent Islam, but I also said that some of them are people living in the eastern part of Syria, okay? And these people used to be sent by Syrian intelligence to fight American
troops
in Iraq.
Dr. Barrett, if you look at the situation with
Syrian
the ISIL,
and were released
if you look at the situation with the ISIL,
and
Madison, Wisconsin, Dr. Barrett, looking at the situation with the ISIL, and from many experts who say that, as I discussed before, we talked about Saudi intelligence being behind this. I want to look at this. We see Saudi Arabia in general playing more and more of a direct and active role, what appears to be trying to basically destabilize the region. First of all, I want your perspective on if you agree with that assessment, and if so, why are they doing that, and how likely is it to backfire on them? Is it not a gamble in the long run?
It absolutely is. It's a huge gamble, but it's the kind of strategy that you expect from colonial forces in an occupied region when their side is losing. The Israelis and the Saudis today are on the wrong side of history as the Middle East is starting to win its independence. And for that reason, these colonialist puppets in Saudi Arabia and Israel are becoming extremists. In the same way that the Algerian puppets, as French Algeria was about to fall, became extremist and started running around just randomly killing huge numbers of people. More than 1 million Algerians were slaughtered as France was being forced to pull out of Algeria. And these local forces in Algeria that were trying to keep Algeria a colonized entity became extremely radicalized and extremely violent as they were on the brink of losing their colony. The same thing is happening today in Saudi Arabia and Israel. Both of those countries are essentially Western colonies. They wouldn't exist in present form without massive support from the West, especially from the U.S. Now, the U.S. looks like it is tired of trying to maintain the old order in the Middle East, and particularly it's tired of supporting these lunatics in Saudi Arabia and Israel who are extremist already. And so as the U.S. starts to rethink its policy, the extremist forces that are running Saudi Arabia in order to keep, you know, vast amounts of money flowing into their Swiss bank accounts and lording it over their people, stealing the oil revenues from the people of the Middle East, and the same kinds of puppets in Israel who are trying to steal more and more land for this crazy, you know, fundamentalist religious, you know, God gave us this land, so we're going to kill everybody and take it for ourselves kind of mentality. You know, both of these groups are panicking because they can see that the world is moving beyond this phase of a Western, you know, imperialist, settler, colonialist Middle East. And so they're desperately trying to destabilize the Middle East to slow this movement towards autonomy. And I think that's really the bottom line, and that's why the Saudis and the Israelis have joined together in this really bizarre sort of, you know, colonialist alliance against the changes that are taking place in the Middle East today.
Mr. Morcone, your reaction to Dr. Barrett's assessment of what exactly is taking place?
I fully disagree with everything that he has said, so I'm going to take a different line of analysis. My view of the situation is that the withdrawal of the U.S. from the area has created some kind of power vacuum in the area, which is for grabs, up for grabs for the power, for the regional powers. And so the regional powers are each fighting his own turf in order to preserve their strategic interest. And these regional powers include Turkey, Iran, Saudi Arabia, and whatnot. Egypt is too busy with its own. Syria is the battleground. And Iraq, which at some point in time was supposed to be a unified country, Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki has tilted more and more in his policies against the Sunni politicians. Politicians, I'm saying, not the Sunni population, which in turn has fanned the flames in Iraq. So when the situation in Iraq is breaking down, the situation in Syria is breaking down, there is a power vacuum that's been created, and everybody is up to take its place in this fight.
Well, what do you think, Dr. Barrett, with the situation, what Mr. Morcone had said, a power vacuum? Looking at it from another perspective, do you think that you talked about originally the origins of al-Qaeda and talked about Washington's involvement in that. Do you think that now the United States is going to distance itself more and more from what many would call extremism out of Saudi Arabia? And that we're going to see some changes in the area due to that?
Well, I would hope so. You know, it's hard to predict U.S. government policy. There still is a strong neocon lobby in Washington, and they're just biding their time. They're hoping to seize power again the way they did after September 11th, which, by the way, they were the authors of. So it's not a sure thing yet that the U.S. Mideast policy is really going to change in a more moderate direction. I think the other guest, though, does have a point when he says that there's a power vacuum because of the U.S. withdrawal. That's just another way of saying exactly what I said. Because Saudi Arabia and Israel are not legitimate local actors. The Ibn Saud family would not own most of the Arabian Peninsula if it weren't for Western support propping them up. Likewise, the Zionist genocidal entity in occupied Palestine would not be there if it were not being constantly propped up by a total of into the trillions of dollars of U.S. support, plus vetoing every U.N. resolution. You know, massive political support from the West has put that illegitimate entity into place. So, yes, all of these actors are fighting for this power vacuum. But
they are there,
just like the French puppet settler colonialists were in Algeria, but they're not going to be there forever.
Dr. Kevin Barrett, Muslim Christian Jewish Alliance, and Mr. Jihad Morcone from an international consultant out of Beirut. Thank you both for being with us. Sorry, we ran out of time. Thank you so much, viewers, for being with us on another debate.